Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Tamura Daf Lamed Gimel. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur will begin 6 lines from the top of Daf Lamed Gimel. Before beginning today's shiur, it's imperative for us to mention that we are continuing with various opinions and analysis of various opinions that we learned in depth on Daf Lamed Beis Omid Beis. So it is of great importance to have available the chart that we included there on Daf Lamed Beis Omid Beis, readily available. And by way of introducing this Gemara as in effect a continuation of our previous year, let us recount the following. We have a little note in the inside margin of the page under the heading L'Rabbanan, that is L'Rabbi Yochanan according to the Rabbanan. We had learned on the Mishnah regarding the Mishnah Adaf Lamed Beis Omid Aleph, the Rabbanan and then Rabbi Shimon appeared with their opinions of how to deal with Kodshei Mizbeach, items dedicated to the temple, to the altar, and Kodshei Bet HaKavayis, things dedicated to the temple repair fund. What happens in the event that the animal that was dedicated for one of these different types of Kedusha, one of these different forms of sanctity, happened to drop dead? Can it be redeemed, or must it be buried? So now, under our little note on the upper part of the inside margin, the Rabbi Yochanan, according to the Rabbanan, Bet HaKavayis, and you've got Bet HaKavayis and Kodshei Mizbeach, both of these, Shneim Hoyu Bichlal Hamodav Arocha, both were included in the Torah requirement of something of the animal standing up to be evaluated in the event that you would anticipate or attempt to redeem it. Lochein Im Mesu, therefore, if the animals die, whether it be Kodshei Mizbeach or Kodshei Bet HaKavayis, if they die, Yikberu, they are to be buried. Now, according to, and this, by the way, this similarity between Kodshei Bet HaKavayis and Kodshei Mizbeach is found on our chart. If you have that available, the first horizontal line of the chart body itself, you will notice we have written Rabbi Yochanan according to the Rabbanan, and both Kodshei Mizbeach and Kodshei Bet HaKavayis are Bichlal. Bichlal on our chart meant Bichlal Hamoda Varocha, needing to, if you want to redeem, it has to stand up to be evaluated. If it's therefore dropped dead, it can't stand up, and therefore it must be buried. Continuing in our note here on Lamed Gimel at the upper corner, the Reish Lakish's version of the Rabbanan stated that Rak Bet HaKavayis Hoya Bichlal Hamodav Arocha. Only animals dedicated to the temple repair fund are included in this Hamodav Arocha requirement, and therefore if they die, they shall be buried. But Kodshei Mizbeach, according to Reish Lakish's version of the Rabbanan, were not included in Hamodav Arocha, and therefore, even if they die, they can be redeemed. All of this was stated by way of review. In anticipation of our shiur now, we glance at the outside margin where we have our Mivneh. Mivneh is a structural note in the Gemara Shas Ozer, the Shas, the Gemara that appears on your screen, which is the cornerstone of Gemara markings. We feature topic headings called Nosei and structural notes called Mivneh from time to time. In this case, our Mivneh features a double underline, and you'll notice this appears in the Gemara text where it says Omar Rav so and so Omar Rav. You'll see Rav Gittel Omar Rav, and later on you'll see Rav Yehuda Omar Rav. They address the reason for my taimo. You see there's that bow tie shape. Bow tie in the Gemara will be surrounding the expression my taimo. And in both of these sections of the Gemara, both here and a number of lines later, the Gemara will be addressing my taimo. You'll see the whoever. The first will be Reish Lakish's version of the Rabbanon, and later on the Gemara will be dealing with my taimo de Rebbe Shimon, who appeared as a Tana in the Mishnah. So we have written in our note, these bow ties represent Chippus HaTa'amim Shel Shitas Reish Lakish B'Rabbanon, Reish Lakish's version of the Rabbanon, and later on the Tana of Rebbe Shimon. And it could be noted now that regarding the Tana Rebbe Shimon, there was no Amoraic controversy between Rebbe Yochanan and Reish Lakish. They agreed with regard to the approach of Rebbe Yochanan, with regard to the approach of Rebbe Shimon. So that within the Rabbanon, you do have a machlokas, Rebbe Yochanan and Reish Lakish, as is illustrated on our chart. And the if you really want to focus, it's really one point, only one point of controversy. After presenting so many different variables, we on the chart, we see there are three variables, Kachim Mizbeach, Kachim Bedek Abayas, and Baal Mumei Korah, Shukta Shem Mizbeach. And you have two Tanaic opinions that appear in the general topic, Rabbi Yochanan, the Rabbanan and Rabbi Shimon. And in addition to that, you've got Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, two Amoraic points of view. So that if you count up all of the different variables and possible points, you see it comes out to quite a bit. Nevertheless, there's only really one point of difference. And that, if you look on the chart, you can see it. You can focus on where is there a difference between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. It will be their approach to the Shitas HaRabbanon regarding Kodshei Mizbeach that dropped dead. What happens? According to Rabbi Yochanan, Kodshei Mizbeach that dropped dead will have to be buried. According to Reish Lakish, Kodshei Mizbeach that dropped dead can be redeemed. Now the Gemara. Omar Rav Gidl Omar Rav. My taimo de Reish Lakish de Omar le Rabbanon. Why? What is the reason or the basis of Reish Lakish who said according to the Rabbanon there is a distinction between Kodshei Mizbeach and Kodshei Bedek Abayas with regard to the possibility of redeeming such an animal in the event that it dropped dead? So what is the reason for Reish Lakish's approach to the Rabbanon that said Kodshei Bedek Abayas Hoyu Bichlal Hamodav Horocha? And Kodshei Mizbeach lo hoyu b'chlal hamodav horacha. Once again, Kodshei Bedek Abayas, animals dedicated to the temple repair fund, are included in hamodav horacha, the requirement that we saw in the pasuk that was cited at the end of our previous shiur, Vayikra Perik Chav Zayin Pasuk Yud Beis, where hamodav horacha, the need for standing up, indicating life in the animal, and then its evaluation. That need, that requirement applies only to the Kodshei Bedek Abayas, as far as Reish Lakish's opinion of the Rabbanon is concerned. And as opposed to Kodshei Mizbeach, they're not included hamodav horacha. What is the reason for this distinction? The Omar Kra, well, the Pasuk says, Veherich HaKohen Osa. Bein Tov Ubein Ra. Now this is Pasuk Yud Beis. This is the Pasuk that was we had written in our we have written on the side of our Gemara. Which we made reference to at the end of our previous Shiur on Daf Lamed Beis Omid Beis. This Pasuk is coming on the heels of Pasuk Yud Aleph. So Reish Lakish understands that the word Osa is a limitation expression. Eizu Dovar She'eno Choluk Bein Tov L'ra. What realm of sanctity is no distinction made between the positive and the negative? Positive being blemish-free, negative being with blemish. What realm of sanctity is there no distinction made? Because the Pasuk in Pasuk Yud Beis mentioned Bein Tov U Bein Ra. So what realm is that? Heve Omer, Ze Kotche Berek Habayis. That's true with regard to items dedicated to the temple repair fund. The issue of blemishes applies only to animals offered up on the altar, not animals dedicated to the temple repair fund. The Omar Kral, and regarding that, namely Kotche Berek Habayis, it says, Oiso. And that Oiso word is in the posuk dealing with Ha'amodov Arocha. Posuk base began with the expression Veherif HaKohen Oiso. That's Veherif. And the end of Posuk Yudalef had used the expression Veheemid Esabeim Olifnei HaKohen. And this is all limited to, by through the word Oiso, to that area in which we can say Bein Tov Bein Ra, which is a reference to Kotche Bedek Habayis. Lim'uti Kotche Mizbeach, to the exclusion of Kotche Mizbeach, that doesn't have this requirement of Hamodov Arocha. So that's Reish Lakish's approach to the Rabbanon. A distinction between Kotche Berek Habayis, which does have a Hamodov Arocha requirement, and Kotche Mizbeach, which do not. Now, V'Reb Yochanan Oiso Lemutei Mai, the expression Oiso, according to Reb Yochanan's version of the Rabbanon, that said both Kotche Mizbeach and Kotche Berek Habayis are included in Hamodav Arocha. What does Rabbi Yochanan do with this exclusionary expression, the word Oiso, or which is a limitation expression, when according to Rabbi Yochanan there's nothing limited? The Gemara answers, there is something excluded from the need of Hamodav Arocha. Lim'ute balmum me'ikoro, to the exclusion of an animal that was dedicated to the altar that already had a blemish before it was dedicated. That kind of thing is not included in Hamodav Arocha, and that is what the word Oiso accomplishes. The Gemara now has a question. This question lasts about six lines. You can see we have a long question marking, a kuf to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dash line. Ulatana debe Levi diomar the afilu balmum meikoroi have bichlal hamodav arocha. According to this new school of thought, we don't have this on our chart. This is another school of thought, the Tana de Levi, that says that even balmum meikoro, an animal sanctified already with a blemish, is included in hamodav arocha. The Tani Levi hakol ayu bichlal hamodav arocha afilu balmum meikoro. Everything is included in Hamodav Arocha, even an animal that initially was blemished. V'chein Tani Levi b'masnisei, and Levi, who was an author of Tanaic sources, of Brises, he writes in his Brisa, v'afilu chayav v'afilu oifois, even animals that can't possibly end up on the Mizbeach whatsoever, chayas or kosher variety, undomesticated animal, undomesticated wild animals like deer and birds, even those are subject to Hamodav Arocha, V'hoksiv Oiso. Well, what does the Tana de Levi do with the word Oiso, which was a limitation expression? Kashya, that remains a difficulty. So as far as the Tana de Levi is concerned, the word Oiso presents a bit of a problem, whereas Tana de Levi said everything is included in Hamodav Arocha, all kinds of sanctified items, and the Pasuk indicated to the contrary, where Oiso, the need for Hamodav Arocha, is limited to something. In other words, something is excluded from that need. So as we said, Tana de Levi has a problem with that word. The Gemara continues, Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Rav, my time order Rabbi Shimon, the Omar. Now, Rabbi Shimon's opinion is, Kotche Mizbeach Hoyu Bichlal Hamodav Arocha, Kotche Berek Habayis Lo Hoyu. Rabbi Shimon, who makes a distinction between Kotche Mizbeach and Kotche Berek Habayis, where he holds Kotche Mizbeach are included in the need for standing up to be evaluated, and therefore Kotche Mizbeach, if they die, Rabbi Shimon will tell you that it's to be buried, and Kotche Berek Habayis, if they were to die, they could be redeemed, because lo hoyu, they weren't included in the realm of Hamoda Varocha. What is the basis for Rabbi Shimon's opinion, and hence Rabbi Shimon's distinction? The Gemara answers, the Omar Kra, the Posuk says, the very Posuk we cited before, Perek Chav Zayin, Posuk Yud Beis in Sefer Vayikra, it says, V'herich HaKohen Oiso Bein Toiv Ubein Ra. Ei Zehu Dovor shecholuk bein tov ubein ra. What area of sanctity makes a distinction between positive and negative? Positive being blemish-free, negative being with a blemish. What area makes a distinction between them? Heve omer, ze kodshe mizbeach. That's true with regard to items, to animals dedicated to the altar. The omar kraw, and regarding animals dedicated to the altar, as Rav Shimon sees things, the word, it says in the pasuk osa, that it needs hamor avarocha, limute berek habayis, to the exclusion of berek habayis that does not require hamor avarocha. I hachi, if this is the understanding of the pasuk, namely that bein tov ubein ra is an instruction to make a distinction between blemished and unblemished, linguistically it should have read bein tov lira, without the extra word bein, as it actually does say in the pasuk. But it doesn't say this. It doesn't say bein tov lira. Let's read this in the Gemara again. I hachi, if the pasuk is telling me about something in which a distinction is made between a baal mum and a non-baal mum, a tomim, it should have used this language, bein tov l'ra mi boyale. That's what it should have said. It doesn't say that, though. Kashya, this is a difficulty. In fact, by saying bein tov bein ra, it would... that type of language would indicate non-distinction, more like the approach we saw taken above. And you'll notice we have a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. One over here, just two lines up, and another one above, where the same pasuk was darshened, Ezu Dover She'eno Choluk, because the expression of Bein Tov, Bein Ra means across the boards, no distinction. If Rav Shimon is trying to base his opinion of distinction based on this pasuk, it presents a difficulty. Hence, the Gemara concludes its Rav Shimon, this particular discussion, with the word kashya. This is a bit of a difficulty. Meisvei. Here, the Gemara raises a question. You'll notice it's a long question. We have a long question marking. This will be asking a kasha on Rabbi Yochanan's approach to these matters. Rabbi Yochanan, just to review, Rabbi Yochanan had said, according to the Rabbanon, no distinction is made between kodshei berek habayis and kodshei mizbeach. Both of them, animals dedicated to temple repair fund, animals dedicated to the altar, if they drop dead, they are to be buried. Meaning, they're both included in Hamod of Arocha. No pidyon. We will now see a source that opens up with a case of dying, mesu, and a distinction will be made. That will serve as a problem for Rabbi Yochanan. So let us now look at the Gemara, the Kasha, Mesve, Mesu. Mesu means they died. Now, a pronoun in learning always presents a level of difficulty. One has to establish what the pronoun is referring to. So we'll just wait a little while and see what we're talking about. But for the time being, they died, and some animals died. Tamimim yikbaru. If they're unblemished, the dead unblemished animal shall be buried. Ubaalei mumin yiftu. A blemished one can be redeemed. Bamed vomamurim bekotshim mizbeach. This is true with regard to animals originally dedicated to the altar as actual sacrifices. Avol bekotshei berek habayis, however, with regard to animals dedicated to the temple repair fund, bein tamimin, bein baal mumin, whether they be unblemished or with a blemish, yik beru. So as far as kotshei berek habayis is concerned, no distinction is made. Under all circumstances, when they die, they are to be buried. However, with regard to Kodshei Mizbeach, that dropped dead, there is a chance of it being redeemed, even though it's dead. According to Rabbi Yochanan, when he discusses Kodshei Mizbeach, he doesn't make any allowance for redemption. He says under all circumstances it's to be buried. But here we have a source that makes reference to Kodshei Mizbeach and does give a redemption option. Now that's not like Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara will point this out. Continuing in the source, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Echad Kodshei Mizbeach ve'echad Kodshei Berek Habayis. Rabbi Shimon says no distinction as far as these categories are concerned. Tamimim Yikbaru, in the event that an unblemished one dies, they are buried. Bali Mumin Yivdu. If they are blemish, if they are with blemishes, they are subject to redemption. We have a triangle. This triangle is featured under our Mivneh heading in the outside margin under the Mivneh. We have a triangle, Tiufta, point facing up, that's a Neged Rabbi Yochanan, against Rabbi Yochanan. When the triangle later on is flipped over, that will represent a problem for Reish Lakish. But in the meantime, Tiufta de Rabbi Yochanan me Reisha. From the beginning of this source, which we already mentioned a couple of times, we have a problem for Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan made no distinction between Berek Habayis and Kodshei Mizbeach. Both cases, when the animals die, there is burial. Here we have a source that makes a distinction, specifically Kodshei Mizbeach that die can be redeemed. And in the context of Bali Mumin, it says there's a redemption possibility. Omar Loch Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan answers, Hocha b'mayaskinon, the Reisha that spoke about Yivdu, and it mentioned that in the context of a Baalmum, a blemished animal, the Baalmum meikaroi, that's talking about an animal that was dedicated with an original blemish. Now, if you have the chart available, you can see under the third column, which was entitled Baalmum meikaro, Rabbi Yochanan's presentation on that is low, meaning it's not included in Hamod of Arocha, which means it can be redeemed in its death. Hochi Nami Mistabra. This approach is also most likely. De'i Tema, if you were to say Shekidam Hekdeshon Es Mumon, that the source is talking about an animal sanctified before it developed a blemish, then Lifloig Reb Shimon Allah, Rabbi Shimon should have disagreed, because Reb Shimon's opinion on a Kodshei Mizbeach that only later on developed a mum, Rabbi Shimon had said about that it cannot be redeemed. This is on our chart under the Kodshei Mizbeach heading. When you skim down to Rabbi Shimon's position, he says Bichlal, that it's included in Hamod of Arocha. This source speaks about the Kodshei Mizbeach with a mum as being subject to redemption. And in this source, Rabbi Shimon mentions redemption for Ba'ale Mumin, namely not disagreeing with the Tanakama, that would indicate Elo Lav Shmamino Bibamu Meikoroi. This source, namely the most recent source, is talking about a Ba'amu Meikoro, where Rabbi Shimon will agree that it's not included in Hamod of Arocha, namely agree with the Tanakama that there is no need for Hamod of Arocha, and hence, if it dies, it can be Yiftu, redeemed. Well, if that's the case, then Ela Lema Teheve Tiufta de Reish Lakish. Well then, this source, through an inference, would actually serve as a challenge, as a repudiation of Reish Lakish. In order to appreciate this more fully, we look at the Rashi under the Gemara text, Lemo Teheve Tiufta de Reish Lakish, the second wide line of the Rashi, Deha Mi Gufa Shaminon, the Ba'amum Meikoro Koi, At this point, then, we're saying that the source is talking about that case, a bamum me'ikaro, an animal dedicated originally with a blemish already there. V'hashto yesh lomar taimo, the reason that there is a pidyon possibility, that there is a redemption possibility, is the bamum me'ikaro, because it was an original blemished animal. Now, the inference, ha, and here is the main point, this inference, ha kidam hegdesho lemumo. If you were dealing with an animal that was originally unblemished and sanctified in a tumim state and later developed a blemish, l'rabbonon nami yikberu, then we have a case of kodshei mizbeach, according to the rabbonon, that would have to be buried. Namely, they're included, they're bechlal hamod of arocha. What did Reish Lakish say about the Rabbanon's Shita on Kodshei Mizbeach? That Reish Lakish gave a pidyon option. He said lo on our chart. Namely, they're not included in Hamad of Arocha. The Shita Megubetzis adds a few words that spells this out in the Ois Yud Ches. You'll see this on the lower part of your page. The Shita Mekubetzis continues what Rashi says here, Yikberu, Utyufta de Reish Lakish. This inference from the source would be a repudiation of Reish Lakish. The Amar de Kodshe Mizbeach Lo Hoyu Bechlal Hamad of Arocha. Reish Lakish's version of the Rabbanan regarding Kodshe Mizbeach, where they're not included in Hamad of Arocha, and therefore, according to Reish Lakish, there would be a pidyon possibility. Whereas our inference here is saying, yikberu, it shall be buried, meaning there was no pidyon possibility. So this is right now raised as a question on Reish Lakish, namely the inference from the source, being that the source is talking about Balmu Me'ikara, we are inferring, in order to raise this question, that that in a case of that Kidam Hekdeshu Es Mumo, the din would be different. And according to the Rabbanon, it would be included in Hamad of Arocha against Reish Lakish's approach to the Rabbanon, who said it was not included in Hamad of Arocha. The Gemara responds, Reish Lakish moikim law b'shekidam hekdeshon es mumon. Reish Lakish looks at the source we got finished reading a few lines up, the source beginning with the long question marking. He says that source is in fact talking about an animal that initially was blemish free when it was sanctified. That's kidam hekdeshon, the hekdesh, the sanctification preceded the mum that developed. Oh, so the Gemara asks, if that's the case, that we're talking about kidam hekdeshon es mumon, and Reish Lakish's version of the Rabbanon is that it's subject to pidyon because it's not bichlal hamad of aracha, then ihachi nifloig Rabbi Shimon Allah, then Rabbi Shimon should have disagreed, because Rabbi Shimon's approach to kidam hegdeshon es mumon by kodshei mizbeach is it is bichlal hamad of aracha, and therefore no pidyon. But when you look back in the source, you'll notice we had circled Rabbi Shimon, and under Rabbi Shimon's baal mumon, where there's a little number 2 in the source, he says yifdu, that it can be redeemed. So according to Reish Lakish, if he wants to focus on the case of Kidam Hekdeshon Es Mumon, and on that present his position within this source, namely that this source is talking about that Kidam Hekdeshon Es Mumon, and therefore the Rabbanon say there is a pidyon possibility, yeah, but regarding that case, Rabbi Shimon disagreed, and yet in the source itself you don't see Rabbi Shimon disagreeing. Under Rabbi Shimon's Baal Mumon, it also says Yifdu. The Gemara answers, Rabbi Shlokish Mepach Apich Vitoni Vehochi Moisiv Mimichilto Achriti. Glancing at the Rashi you see on the fourth line under the Gemara, Mishani Reish Lakish Mepach Apich, that expression means something is flipped around, something is taught in an opposite fashion. Vitoni Vehochi Moisiv Mimichilto Achriti. Rashi explains the Ashkach Braisa Achriti. He, Reish Lakish, found another Tanaic source, the Mehapich law, that switches things around, Umoisiv law Hochi, the Rabbi Yochanan. And based on the source that Reish Lakish has, he happens to have a source that will present a challenge to Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish doesn't present the original source as we had it, which presented a problem for Rabbi Yochanan originally. As opposed to the source we had above, the source Reish Lakish brings in, you don't have Reb Shimon saying explicitly about Kodshei Mizbeach, a Pidyon possibility. So if you don't have a Pidyon possibility, Reb Shimon will be able to comfortably fit in to a scheme that Reish Lakish would appreciate. Let us see this now in the text. So as you see, we have a framed section, and this is a Tanaic source that also deals with animals dying, but it's Reish Lakish's version, or a different text that Reish Lakish was basing his approach on. And we now go in through the Gemara, and the initial point is to use we'll call this the new text, the new version, and through which we'll present a problem to Reb Yochanan. So what's Reish Lakish's version of that source, the source that we had just a few lines up? It's as follows. Mesu, animals die, bein tamimin, bein baal mulin, whether they be unblemished in their death or blemished, yikberu, burial. Bamed v'mumurim, when is it so that there will be burial regarding the Bali Mumin, the blemished ones? Bekotshe Bedek Habayis. There's burial for animals that were dedicated originally to the Bedek Habayis, Temple Repair Fund. Avol Bekotshe Mizbeach Yifdu. Because they're not bichlal hamodav arocha. And by the way, if you check this out on our chart, Reish Lakish's version of the Rabbanon under Kodshei Mizbeach, in fact, says lo, meaning not bichlal hamodav arocha, meaning that there is a pidyon possibility. Rabbi Shimon Omer, tamimim yikberu, ubalei mumin yifdu. Rabbi Shimon, now, here you don't have Reb Shimon making any reference to Kodshei Mizbeach explicitly. If we look in the Rashi, you notice there's a Rashi that we've noted with a double star. You'll see the six lines from the end of the page of the Rashi commentary. The also Reb Shimon lachloik b'kodshei berek habayis. Reb Shimon comes along to offer his point of view with regard to Kodshei berek habayis. The Amris Yikburu, you said that Kodshei Berek Habayis are to be buried because they're Bechlal Modav Arocha, the D, according to me, Reb Shimon, Yifdu. According to me, regarding Kodshei Berek Habayis, there is a Pidyon possibility because Kodshei Berek Habayis are not included in Modav Arocha. And by the way, this is what Reb Shimon said, and Reish Lakish subscribes to that. So that if you look on our original chart, you will see that Reish Lakish's version of the Rabbanan regarding Kodshei Berek Habayis is the point of controversy between them and Reb Shimon. You see, according to Reish Lakish's version of the Rabbanan by Kodshei Berek Habayis, it's Bechlal Modav Arocha, and hence needs to be buried. And Reb Shimon will say, no, it can be redeemed. Well, let's continue now in the Gemara. Let's just emphasize the point. The problem we had before with regard to the original text vis-a-vis Reish Lakish was an inference that we drew from the original text, which had a case of Kidam Hekdesha Lemumo of the Kodshei Mizbeach Lefi the Rabbanon needing burial, and that was something that Reish Lakish originally had not said. Here in this source, when we get to Reb Shimon, which was the original problem that presented the problem for Reish Lakish according to the first version, here Reb Shimon doesn't make specific reference to Kodshei Mizbeach. Reb Shimon is focusing on the case of Kodshei Bedek Habayis. Hence, things work out for Reish Lakish. However, Tiyufta de Rebbe Yoichanan mi Seifa. The Seifa here is a reference to the Tanakama, the Tanakama's version of Kodshei Mizbeach. What was the Tanakama's version of Kodshei Mizbeach here? Well, it said that if they drop dead, there is a pidyon possibility for Kodshei Mizbeach that developed a mum. According to Rabbi Yochanan, we can be a little more broader. According to the Tanakhama, whether it's Tumim or a Baal Mum, Kodshei Mizbeach that dropped dead could be redeemed. What did Rabbi Yochanan say about the Rabbanon's version of Kodshei Mizbeach? He said they are Bechlal Hamod Varocha, means they cannot be redeemed. So from this source, or this version of the source, this Tanaic source represents a problem for Rabbi Yochanan. Omar Loch Rabbi Yochanan, Hocha B'mayaskinon, this source that makes reference to pidyon for Kodshei Mizbeach, B'Balmum Me'ikoro. This is an animal that was dedicated originally with a blemish. Hochi Nami Mistabro. It's likely that is the topic of this source. The Itema B'Chikidam Hegdeshon Es Mumon. If you were to think that the Kodshei Mizbeach referred to here was something that was originally unblemished, and regarding that, there is a pidyon possibility, Niflog Rebbe Shimon Allah. Then Rebbe Shimon would have disagreed. And we, because Rebbe Shimon will tell you that such a thing is Bichlal Hamoda Varocha. And being that it's Bichlal Hamoda Varocha, Rebbe Shimon would have been disagreeing with the Rabbanon in this source, which says Yifdu that they're not Bichlal Hamoda Varocha, means they're subject to Pinyon. So since we don't see Rebbe Shimon arguing regarding the Baal Mum, if he's not arguing, it therefore must be talking about a case of Balmu Meikoroi, and not Higdisho V'acharkach Humam. Or the Lashon of the Gemara was B'Shekina Mekdeshin Es Mumon. Well, if that's the case then, if this source in fact is talking about Balmu Meikoroi, this then would lend a or serve as a problem for Reish Lakish. Elo lema tevi tufta de Reish Lakish. If this source in fact is talking about Balmum Meikoroi, then as we saw before, we could make an inference, we would draw an inference from this, that if Kidam Hekdeshu Lemumo, the halacha would be different. So, since, according to the way we're trying to learn right now, as far as Rabbi Yochanan's approach is concerned, that this is talking about Balmum Meikoroi, and it's only because of that the Rabbanon say Yifdu, that there's a pidyon possibility by Kodshei Mizbeach. The inference is that if it were Kidam Hegdei Shalemumo, it wasn't a Balmum Meikoroi, but it was a sanctified, originally blemish-free, the Rabbanan would say it has to be buried. Well, that's against Reish Lakish's approach to the Rabbanan, who says that it's not Bichlal Hamod Varocha and can be redeemed. Hence, the Gemara is asking, like we asked before, so should this be a tufta to Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish doesn't accept Rabbi Yochanan's approach that it's talking about a Ba'amu Meikara, but it's talking about a case of Kidam Hegdeshinas Mumon. It was originally sanctified blemish-free. Well, as we saw before, when this approach had been taken, we had raised a question, well then, why doesn't Rabbi Shimon argue? V'niflog Rabbi Shimon Allah. If that's the case, so then Rabbi Shimon should have echoed his dissent. Namely, Rabbi Shimon would have held that in such a case it's not subject to redemption. It is bichlal hamoda varocha. Amaloch Reish Lakish Hachinami, the Polag Rabbi Shimon. In fact, Rabbi Shimon does disagree. There's a Rashi three lines from the bottom. V'hochinami de polig, v'tono loch pluktayu, v'berek habayis. This source teaches their machlokes with regard to berek habayis, as Reish Lakish understood things. As what? Not only that, but as the source itself said, that when is the position said where, whether it be Tamimin or Bali Mumin Yikbaru, that's Bekot Sheberek Abayis, that's the Tanakama. V'adin, the Polugalayhu Nami Bekot She Mizbeach the Yikbaru. Rabbi Shimon would have said this position of Yikbaru with regard to Kotshe Mizbeach as well, because they are Bechlal Hamoda Varocha. So that even though Rabbi Shimon says in the source that we have presented, he says Tamimim Yikbaru Balimumin Yivdu, Rabbi Shimon will continue his argument with the Rabbonon with regard to Kotshe Mizbeach as well. And hence, as far as Reish Lakish is concerned, Kotshe Mizbeach according to the Rabbonon are not included in Hamoda Varocha, and hence there is a Pidyon possibility. And hence, you can see in the source where it said, "Avol b'kotshe mizbeach yifdu," and Reb Shimon will disagree with the Rabbonan on that score and say yikbaru. As you can see, Reb Shimon holds they were bichlal hamoda varocha. Before we continue in the Gemara, we have a double underline with dots in it. This is explained under our Mivneh heading in the outside margin. These are kushios, questions hamavusasos al hadeos shofiu l'oirich hasugya, questions on the different opinions that we have seen presented throughout the Gemara. The house marking is used to highlight Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. Kushios hamavusasos al shitosehem basugya. We will be raising questions based on the opinions they said in the Gemara, and then using that as a jump-off point for a question. So the Gemara continues. Amar le Rabbi Yirmiya le Rabbi Zera. Le Reish Lakish d'amar le Rabbonan. According to Reish Lakish's version of the Rabbonan, Kotshe Mizbeach lo hoyu b'chal amod avarocha. Animals dedicated to the altar were never included in the need to stand up for evaluation, and therefore there is a possibility of pidyon. So if you have a kotshe mizbeach animal that dropped dead, there is a possibility of pidyon. V'katoni v'kotshe mizbeach, and it was taught under the heading of kotshe mizbeach in the Tanaic source, it said ba'alei mumin yifdu umukminon law. And Reish Lakish sets that up as b'shikidam hegdeshon es mumon, something that was originally sanctified blemish-free and only later a blemish developed. So, shma mino, should we conclude, poidim es hakotshim achli ilon neklovim, that Adam sanctified to the Mizbeach could be redeemed and eventually serve as dog food, because after all, we're talking about a case of an animal dropping dead. It wasn't slaughtered. So could it be that there is such an opinion that poidim is a kochim achim leklovim, which is something that's generally speaking not well received, the idea of of redeeming something that was sanctified for such a high, such a lofty spiritual purpose, and eventually its redemption will be such that it will lead to dog food. So Reish Lakish says, don't conclude such a halacha that you can initially, you can be potent with the dog food idea in mind. Hocha b'may askinan. This source is talking about b'sha'ovar v'shochtan. It's true that the source used the word mesu, dying, but Rashi explains the word mesu doesn't mean actual dropping dead, but rather it's death through shchita, that the animal was over, he violated the rule and slaughtered it. So you have a case of a kidam hegdeshan esmuman that was not, initially it was not redeemed. The owner went ahead and slaughtered it before redemption. Kidesanya, kol hakotshim shenofu b'hem mum v'shochton, all kotshim is beach, animals dedicated to the altar that there befell a mum after their sanctification, and the owner didn't redeem it, but rather he slaughtered it. The Rameir says, well, you got to bury it. The Chum say, no, it can be redeemed. So here we have that. We notice how we dashed another line, Shochton and Yifdu. Since it's been shechted, though, you realize it's not going to serve as dog food. You will be able to eat it. So we don't have any evidence of a shita that says poidim es hakotshim lachilon leklovim, as far as Reish Lakish and the in his approach to the Rabbanon is concerned. Omale Reb Yirmiyah le Reb Zera, the Reb Shimon de Omar kotshe beregabayis lo havu b'chlal hamonav arocha. According to Reb Shimon, it says animals dedicated to the temple repair fund were not included in hamonav arocha, which basically means you could redeem them. Amai tamimim yikberu. Why does Reb Shimon say, when he speaks about the topic, he says tamimim yikberu, that unblemished shall be buried in the event that they die? But if Kotshei Bedek Abayis wasn't included in Hamoda of Harocha, so there, then why do you bury it? You could redeem it. Answer: Mishum dechozu lahakrava, because they were fit to be used as sacrificial offerings. Kedesanya, as the following source illustrates, Hamatvis Tamim Bedek Abayis, someone who dedicates unblemished animals to the temple repair fund, kishehen nifdin, when they are redeemed, eino nifdin elo lemizbeach, they are redeemed and their value is used to buy sacrifices. Shekol haroi lemizbeach eino yotze midei mizbeach leolam. Anything that has the potential for the mizbeach doesn't leave that label ever. Therefore, true that Kotshei Bedek Abayis were not included in Hamodav Arocha, that would be, and therefore there should be a pidyon possibility, that would be true for one who dedicated other kinds of animals to the temple repair fund. However, if one dedicated an animal that's tamim, unblemished, it thereby falls into the category of Kotshei Mizbeach. And as such, Reb Shimon's approach to Kotshei Mizbeach is that they were Bechlal Hamoda V'Arocha, and therefore they cannot be redeemed, and therefore he said Yikberu. Before continuing in the Gemara, you will notice that we're about to embark on a long question. This is illustrated by the Kuf that appears to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line. On the outside margin, under our No Say heading, we have included the following note. Kushya al Shitas Reb Yochanan will be asking on Reb Yochanan Shesover de Lekuli Alma, that he holds, according to all opinions, Balmune Kara Lo Have Bechlal Hamoda Varocha, that an animal that was sanctified already with a blemish was never included under the Hamoda Varocha requirement. That was the way Rabbi Yochanan presented things. Let's now see the Gemara. Amalei Rav Papa Labaye. The Amri Law, the Rava. Others say Rav Papa turned to Rava. The Rabbi Yochanan, the Moikim Law, the Balmum Meikoro. According to Rabbi Yochanan, that said the Tanaic source was talking about an animal that was initially with a blemish before it was dedicated. The Kule Alma Svira Lahu, the Balmum Meikoro, the Lo Have Bechlal Hamada Forocha. Presenting it as such that everyone would agree that it was not included in the Hamada Forocha requirement. We now ask, the Lo, is that really so? Vahatanan. We have the following Tanaic source. Kol Hakochim Shekida Mum Kavua Legdeshon Vinifdu Chayovin Bivachura Uvimatonus. All animals that were sanctified, that a mum appeared before the sanctification, a permanent mum, and they were then redeemed. They are treated like chulin, treated like mundane animals. And hence, if the animal gives birth to a firstborn male animal, it's chayav bebechorah. It's treated as a bechor and given to a kohen and offered as a bechor sacrifice. Uvematonos, in the event that you slaughter it, you will have to give the kohen his priestly portions, the zera l'chayim akeva, different limbs of an animal. And upon redemption, you can shear it and work with it, which is quite different than the case of an animal that was sanctified initially blemish free. These things would shearing and working with would be forbidden. Their offspring and the milk from these cases of kida mum kavua legdeshon, you can use their offspring and their milk l'achar pidyonon, after redemption. The slaughtering of these animals outside the Beis HaMikdash, one will be exempt from the serious crime of Shechitas Chutz. The Ein Oisin Tmura, they don't generate a Tmura. The Im Mesu Yifdu, and in the event that they die, they can be redeemed. The Omer of Yudom Arav, Zu Divrei Rabbi Shimon. This approach is one taken by Rabbi Shimon. We have a parenthesis section here, courtesy of the Shita Mikubetzes. So skipping down to the section of Gemara after the parentheses, Afol Chachomim Oimrim, Afilu Balmum Meikoroi. Even an animal like was the topic of this source, a Balmum Meikoro. Have Hoya Bechlal Hamodav Arocha. According to the Chomim, it was included in the need for standing up to be evaluated. So how can Rabbi Yochanan say that a Balmum Meikoro, everyone will say that it's not Bechlal Hamodav Arocha, namely that it can be redeemed in the event that it dies? Here we see the Chachamim saying that it is Bechlal Hamodav Avrocha, meaning that it cannot be redeemed. Omar Le, Rabbi Yochanan will answer, Man Chachamim, who is the Chachamim that was just referred to? Tana de Beit Levi. That's the Tanaic source that came forth from the Yeshiva of Levi. In other words, Levi, who authored Brisas, presented such a Shita. And by the way, you might want to remember that this Tana Beit Levi was found on Omid Aleph. We have a little squiggled arrow in the space to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with an Omid Aleph reference. If you go back to our Omid Aleph, you will notice a parallel marking which shows where he appeared on the upper half of the page. We had circled there Levi and his source, where it's in HaKol Hoyu B'chal Modav Arocha V'ilu Bal Mumei Koro. However, the Rabbanon will not say thusly. Hence, the Rabbanon would agree with Rabbi Shimon that a Baal Mumei Koro can be redeemed. So this source, which speaks about Kidam Mum Kavua Behekdeshon, which is the case of Baal Mumei Koro, is subject to redemption. So the Gemara asks, "I hochi, if in fact the Rabbanon would agree with Levi, and only Tanur de Levi would disagree, then why in the source does it say Zu Divrei Rabbi Shimon Vesula?" We have a little star, which is not in the source, but rather Rav. Why did Rav say that it's only Rabbi Shimon? Zu Divrei Rabbi Shimon Machlukoso Mibale. Rav should have said that this is the opinion, the source, this Tanaic source, is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanon that otherwise, in other cases, disagree with him. Namely, that in the case of Baal Mumei Koro, Rabbi Shimon and his Bar Plukta, and the one that disagrees with him in other cases, will agree here that Yifdu. Omar Lay. So Abaye or Rava, whoever, whichever version you have, is answering, "Hai delo katani hachi." The fact that Rav didn't say thusly, mishum de Rav sovar lo kereshlokish. Rav, in his approach to the Tanoim, Rabbanon and Reb Shimon, he holds like Reish Lakish's approach to the Tanoim. Once again, it's worth having the chart in front of you from Daf Lamed Beis Amid Beis. Rav holds like Reish Lakish's approach to the Rabbanon that said, "Kotche Berek Habayis Hoyu Bichlal Hamodav Arocha," that animals sanctified to the temple repair fund were under that restriction of Hamod Avrocha. Hence, if they die, they'd have to be buried. Kotche Mizbeach Lo Hoyu, and animals sanctified to the altar were not included in Hamod Avrocha. V'resha Kotani, the resha of this source, which spoke about Baal Mumei Koro, said im mesu yifdu. If Baal Mumei Koro dies, it can be redeemed, and the Rabbanan would agree with that. The seifa katani im mesu yikberu. The seifa, which we established as dealing with the kidam hekdeshon es mumon, where it was sanctified prior in an unblemished state, there it says if they die, so they are to be buried. Well, with regard to that point, a kidam hekdeshon es mumon and the shitas harabonon, that is something that, according to Reish Lakish and Rav, who agrees with Reish Lakish, would not have to have been buried. Because according to the Rabbanon's version, Reish Lakish's version of the Rabbanon, they weren't Bechlal Hamod of Arocha, and hence could be redeemed. So therefore, to say that this source which has a resha and a seifa to it, the resha dealing with Baal Mumei Koro, however the seifa which deals with kidam hekdeshon es mumon, on that point Rav could not have said zu divrei Rabbi Shimon u'machlukuso, because the Rabbanon on that point, the topic of the seifa which says kidam hekdeshon es mumon, which talks about that case, something sanctified initially blemish free, only Reb Shimon would say Yikberu, and not the Rabbanon. Therefore, it wouldn't have been accurate for Rav to say that this source is according to Reb Shimon and the Rabbanon. It may be true with regard to the Reisha, which talks about Bamumei Korah, but it wouldn't have been true with regard to the Seifa that speaks about Kidam Hegdeshan Es Mumon. The Iboy Esema, another approach is Rav Kereb Yochanan Svirolei. Rav actually agrees with Rabbi Yochanan's approach to the Rabbanan. Udoko Kashiloch. Well, if you say that, then the source where Rav should have said Zu Divrei Rabbi Shimon Umachlukusami Boilei. Rav should have said that this source is in accordance with Rabbi Shimon and his Bar Plukta, because the Rabbanan would have agreed with Rebbe, with that which it teaches in this source, that Balmumi Koro has a pidyon possibility, but Kidam Hegdeshon Es Mumon would be buried because of they were Bechlal, because they were that Kochim Mizbeach are Bechlal Hamod of Orocha, and that according to Rabbi Yochanan's version of the Rabbanan is in fact something the Rabbanan would agree with. So it should have said that this source, both Reisha and Seifa, Reisha dealing with Balmu Meikara, Seifa that says Yikbaru dealing with Kidam Hegdeshan Es Mumon Yikbaru. It should have said, Rav should have said, this is according to Reb Shimon and the Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, okay, Tani, Zu Divrei Reb Shimon Umachlu Kuso. So have that stated in Rav's words, that this is according to Reb Shimon and his Bar Plukta. It's true that the Rabbanan and Reb Shimon will have a difference of opinion with regard to how you deal with Kotshe Bedek Habayis. But when you're dealing with Kotshe Mizbeach, which focuses on the issue of was it a Balmum Eikora versus a Balmum that developed afterwards, on that point there would be no disagreement between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Shimon. And hence we're saying that Rav in fact could have said or should have said, or that should be the language of Rav, that Zu Divrei Rabbi Shimon U Machlukaso. The Mishnah. You can see in this Mishnah the use of a double underline, and in the Nosei Mivneh heading in the outside margin, you can see that we've featured a double underline, and we understand this is a reference to Eluhain Hanigborin and Eluhain Hanisrafin. You can see that marked off in the Mishnah. In many areas of Halacha, there are things that become unfit, or they're not to be used. How do you deal with them? How do you dispose of them? So some are buried and some are burnt. This Mishnah provides an extensive list of what falls under what category. The Elohein HaNikborin, the following are to be buried. Kochim She Hipilu, an animal that was sanctified as a sacrifice and it miscarried. So the miscarriage is buried. Kochim shepilu yikovru. Hipila shilya tikover. If an afterbirth came out of the animal, a placenta came out from kochim, it is to be buried. The Rashi explains shilya tikover, she'ein shilya below vlad. You don't have a placenta without an offspring. V'chol hanoch nikborim, all of these things that are to be buried, mishum di isure hanoninu. The reason for their burial is because you're dealing with things that are forbidden to benefit from. Other examples, v'shor haniskal. This is an animal that had killed someone or was sentenced to death by the court for whatever reason. The Eglo Arufa, this is the animal that's brought as a ritual atonement in the case of a dead person, a murder victim found between two cities. The closer of the two cities brings this Eglo Arufa. This is a calf whose neck is broken to serve as an interim atonement until the murderer is found. Vitzipore Mitzora. These are birds that are part of the Mitzora purification process. The Seor Nozir, hair from a Nozir. Upeter Chamor, the firstborn male donkey that's not redeemed. Ubosir B'cholov, meat and milk cooked together. The Chulin Shenishchata Bazar. We have a little aleph here indicating that there will be a disagreement on this point. Tanakama holds that chulin shenishkutu bazara are to be buried. These are chulin are non-sanctified animals, mundane or common animals that someone slaughtered in the azara of the Beis Hamikdash, in the temple courtyard. Rabbi Shimon omer chulin shenishkutu bazara is refu. Rabbi Shimon disagrees and says that they are to be burnt. And likewise, with a chaya, which is an animal that you wouldn't even confuse with a korban, because undomesticated animals are never brought as sacrifices. But if one, let it say, slaughtered a deer in the temple courtyard, Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that it too shall be burnt. Let us glance at the Rashi on this point. Chulin shenishkutu bazara yisrafu. This Rashi, just a few lines up from here, is explaining Rabbi Shimon's opinion. Why does he say that chulin shenishkutu bazara should be burnt? Mishum demichlefi behu kachim shira behu psul. Now, we know that sacrifices themselves, not the offspring or any of the things we mentioned above, but sacrifices themselves that developed a problem, let's say, a blemish. How do we deal with them? Well, kachim shenifsalu, they are burnt. What Rabbi Shimon is concerned with here is the case of chulin shenishkutu bazara. These are animals that were never sanctified, and they were simply slaughtered in the wrong place. They were slaughtered in the azara. Rabbi Shimon says, you know, we've got to treat them the same way. We've got to burn them. Why? Di omar yikmeru, if you would say that they are to be buried. Kevan de lo mukha milsa, since it's not obvious what they are, I chulin havu I kachim. It's not obvious as to their identity. Are they chulin or kachim? That is not obvious to the onlooker. Asu lumeimar, people will come to say, nami kachim shira bahen psul tuma o psul noisar I kavru. If we were not to say regarding the chulin shenishkutu bazara burning, but rather burial, people will think in general actual sacrifices that developed a problem of tuma, ritual impurity, or no serve, something being left over beyond its time, that they too are to be buried. The kaimam psachim perik sheni, b'kodesh b'ish tisreif, that's a posuk, li made al kol hapsulim shebekodesh shein b'sreifa, that every type of kachim, of actual sacrificial entity that developed a psul, they are to be burnt. Therefore, Reb Shimon takes preventive measures so that people don't come to wrong conclusions, and says even the case of chulin shenishkutu bazara shall be burnt. Now, his chiddush goes further. He says even a chaya, the case of a chaya is an undomesticated animal. Those are, for example, deer, where no one would think a deer could be brought as a sacrifice. Even so, he says all cases of chulin shenishkutu bazara are to be burnt. Continuing in the Mishnah, the elu hein hanisraf, and the following are items that are expected to be burnt as their means of disposal. Chometz bepesach isoreif, chometz found on Pesach, or let's say the disposal of chometz. Utruma tamea. Truma is a tithe given to the Kohanim from produce if it becomes ritually impure. The Orla Vekila Kerem, products from a fruit tree first during its first 3 years, or Kila Kerem is a planting of grains in a grape vineyard. Es Shadarkon Lisrof Yisrof, things that are subject to being burnt, so they shall be burnt. Regarding the Orla and Kila Kerem, if you have the food items from there, they're burnt. The Eshadarkan Likover, Likover, if you have liquids that came from Kila Kerem or from Orla, let's say you made wine from Orla grapes, so you don't burn wine, you will bury it. Umadlikin Vipas Ubeshemen Sheltruma. Rashi says you can benefit from bread or oil of truma that became tame. You burn it, that is true, but you're allowed to benefit from that burning, which is in contrast to the approach we took originally in the case of kavura. We bury, the burial is something that something applies to all. The case of burial are things that are prohibited from benefiting from. Here you have a case of something that's burnt, and we're saying that even though it is to be disposed of, you're allowed to benefit during the burning of it. Kol ha-kodshim shenishchatu chutz lizmanon v'chutz lemekamon harei elu yisrafu. Someone who slaughtered a sacrificial animal with an incorrect mindset. In other words, when he was slaughtering it, he intended to either eat it or sprinkle the blood at a wrong time or in a wrong place. This incorrect mindset ruins the sacrifice, and therefore it is to be burnt. Continuing at the top of Lamed Dalid, Osham Tolui Isareif. An Osham Tolui is a sacrifice that is brought when a person is in doubt as to whether he violated a type of offense that would otherwise require a Korban Chatos. Just one of many examples. If a person, let us say, is in doubt whether he ate chalev. Chalev is a forbidden part of an animal. If he's in doubt as to whether he ate chalev, he will bring an Osham Tolui. Now, in this case, he slaughtered the Osham Tolui that he was expected to bring, but before the sprinkling of the blood, it became known that he did not sin. Such a case will warrant the burning of that Osham Tolui, as opposed to what ordinarily would have happened had he not discovered that he had not sinned. It would have been distributed amongst the Kohanim for eating. The Mishnah continues, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Yikover. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and says it shall be buried. Chatos ha'oif habo alo sofek, tisareif. In general, with the exception of the Korban Osham, sacrifices are not brought in a state of doubt. There is an exception to that, and that's the case of a bird offering that's brought as a sin offering, a chatos ha'oif, if it comes to cover a case of doubt. So, tisareif, you can't eat it because maybe it wasn't necessary to be brought as a sacrifice. Therefore, it is burnt. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, yatileno la'amo. You throw it, the bird, the chatos ha'oif that is bala sefek, you throw it into the amo. This is a stream that flows out of the Beis HaMikdash, and Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that that will be a sufficient way of dispensing with it. Kohanik borim lo yisrafu v'chon yisrafim lo yikavru. Everything that is deemed to be buried is not to be burnt, and that which is deemed to be burnt is not to be buried. Rav Yehuda Omer, im rotso lahachmir al atzmo lisroif esanik borim rashoi. If a person wants to impose a stringency upon himself and burn that which is supposed to be buried, he is entitled to. Omru lo, eino mutur lishanos. The Chachamim disagree and say you cannot change. You cannot change the category of whatever you're dealing with. If something needs to be buried, only burial. If something needs to be burnt, only burning. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.